the day we got born again, we were born into the promised land. You live based on what God has said. You carry it in your spirit. If He has said it, it's true. Your joy, your fulfillment, your mood is independent on happiness. So we don't live based on happiness. We live based on God's will. We live from the inside. Let your heart be established in grace. You are a mobile temple. Prayer is allowed anywhere, anytime. Sidoketo Montikate Rito Kopotoketa Sudeke Ponde Kidede. Christianity is a display of divine as two men on earth. You see, when spiritual hunger gains the ascendancy, gains the dominance over your mind, you don't even see anything as sacrifice.
So as you grow spiritually, you generate a potential difference. And that potential difference will bring to you the monies you need. It will bring to you the people you need. It will bring to you the necessary materials you need to fulfill your God-given calling on the earth.
We give you glory, we give you honor. Our hearts, our lives, our all is out in worship of your majesty. If you had 1,000 tongues each, we couldn't praise you enough. We love and we adore you. Tonight our hearts and our minds are open to receive something fresh from you. We ask that the glory of your presence fill this place. We ask that the glory of your presence, mighty, mighty presence, let it fill this place tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The spirit of understanding is upon us tonight. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you is upon us tonight. Tonight we have access into mysteries and secrets of the kingdom. Yes, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you. Speak through my mouth tonight. Touch through my hands, see through my eyes. Let no one leave here the same with the King. Thank you, blessed Father. Thank you, blessed Father. Thank you for the release of wisdom. Your wisdom. Dissolving doubts. Answering questions. Solving hard sentences. Thank you for the release of your power. Burdens are lifted tonight. Yokes are destroyed. There are workings of miracles tonight in every area of our lives, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the prophetic unction as I minister. Thank you because people will know, look, this is what I'm supposed to do. Thank you for causing us to hear the voice behind the voice of the preacher. In the name of Jesus, the lambs will be fed, the sheep will be fed, the sheep will be tended. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. And God's people said amen. God's people said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Welcome your neighbors on your left and on your right. And tell them, I see God's glory on you. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. You may be seated. Amen. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Thank you, T.O.P. You may be seated. Hebrews, chapter 4. Hebrews, chapter 4. I almost said St. Hebrews Gospel. And then there's Gospel according to St. John's. Gospel according to St. James, right? But the popular ones, St. John, St. Peter, and St. Paul. When you say St. James, it doesn't really flow. Amen. Who agrees with me? Yeah, St. James is the way it sounds. Hallelujah. There are people that believe that saints are those who have died. And then, what is the name of that thing they call again? Canonization, yes. Then a church council will sit and then canonize. And then, I say, from now on, I heard there's a saint in Nigeria, right? Some people went around. Ah, is it too? The Pope was here this. Saint who? Nancy. can't see. All the ex-Catholic boys, men and women. Amen. Hallelujah. I've got so many Catholics here with the Holy Ghost. Amen. For many years now. I just do it. I just like doing it. For some it's by force. I remember when I gave him a book to go and read. He woke up in the night praying in tongues. He was confused. He ran to my room. He said, so what did you do? I woke up and I was saying things. I was praying and I just started talking. Is that? Yeah, that's the tongues. Glory to God. Kiss it to Alpha. Should I tell them? Glory to God. Or the people like me. Do you know that over a research was done 5 years ago, and we're told that over 200 million Roman Catholics speak in other tongues. So when I meet people that say they are from this church, they don't speak in tongues, then I laugh at them. There is no denomination in the world that doesn't have a portion speaking in tongues. Do you know that's a witness? That's a witness to all Christians. As someone else, I'm from, I don't want to call the ones you know around here. I'm from this church. We don't speak in tongues there. Except it's not the Bible believing church. Except people didn't labor over it. Except it's a cult. If it's a church, it may be an Orthodox church, there'll be a percentage, there'll be a portion. Okay, speaking in tongues, Holy Ghost rising, amen. Very important. The big things of the kingdom always come in packages that people despise and fight. There was a prophecy about the coming Messiah. When he came, the way he came, many people were not convinced that that was the Messiah. It was too simple. I thought the Messiah was going to be born in a certain way, raised in a certain family, and be somewhat of a political leader or a monarch who would deliver them from the oppression of Rome. It's so serious that even the disciples at the ascension of Jesus still mention it. You remember Acts chapter 1 from verse 6 and 7. Verse 7, I believe. They say, when shall thou restore? He said, Master. So all this in the toy was politics that was on Jesus' mind. Amazing. After he was raised from the dead, and the Bible says he showed himself unto many 40 days, 40 nights. With infallible proofs, proving that he was risen, that he was the king, he was the Son of the living God, the Messiah of the world that was to come. They saw those things. They saw him walk through the walls. And the Bible says he told them things concerning the kingdom of God. Yet, listen, mindset. Let me tell you something. Those of you that think that the disciples were born again while they were walking with Jesus, it's not true. Their minds were blocked. If not, what else would explain why they did not know or believe that Jesus was to be raised? He said it all the time. But you see, the Bible says the carnal man, the natural man rather, does not understand the things of the spirit. He can't know them. Why? They are spiritually deciphered, spiritually discerned, spiritually understood. He said it. I will die after 3 days. I'll be raised. Except the corner of wheat. There were times he spoke as a parable. Other times he spoke expressly. Yet they didn't hear him. They didn't hear him. They didn't hear him. The prophets talked about him. They read the prophets. But you see, spiritual things are spiritually understood. And the reason why they couldn't understand him was because they were dead to spiritual things. They were not alive to God. God had to find natural ways of communicating with them. end. I believe we mentioned that from chapter 1 of book of Hebrews when we started the study. How that in these last days God speaks to us by his Son. And we say that those guys that lived before Jesus obtained man's internal redemption were dead to God. We are alive to God. The day Jesus came into your heart, you were quickened. You are awakened to the fatherhood of God. Awaken in your spirit. So when you begin to look for the things that God had to do to get across to the men that were dead spiritually, you are carnal. There are believers who exalt hearing God with an audible voice above hearing God in the inner quarters of their hearts. That is taking us back. Glory to God forevermore. They were dead to spiritual things. We are alive to God. The Bible says we are the ones that have come out of spiritual death. Our spirits are alive. Haven't you noticed that until Jesus came, died, and was raised, until eternal life came on earth, science could not make so much progress? We're told that the scientific, technological, educational progress, inventions, things that have been discovered, made in the last 100 years, are many times more than what science did before the last 100 years. And that's the reason. And then there was another one that compared the advancement in industry, in science, in technology, after the Lutheran Revolution. That's to show us something. It means after the gospel was being introduced again, that justification was by faith, light came. Light came. So much done in a short while. I mean, in a short space of time. Way more than what they did in thousands of years. That's to tell us something. The Bible says in him was life. And the life was the civilization of men. Was the light of men. We are alive to God. They were not. The new creation in Christ is alive to God. Spirit, soul, and body. We are alive to God. We don't need a medium to get to God. No, we don't. Jesus himself said it. He says, even me, I'm not saying that I will pray for you. For he himself loveth you. St. John's Gospel. He says, I'm not saying that I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to talk to the Father on your behalf. No, he says, he himself loveth you. You can talk to him. You don't need to pray through a saint, because you're also a saint. Amen. People don't become saints when they are dead and a church council meets to canonize them. No. The day Jesus came to live in the inner quarters of your heart, you became a saint. You say, but I still make mistakes. That's a saint that makes mistakes. Glory to God. First verse of that chapter 3 says, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. What other explanation do you need? Ye are a chosen generation. You say, yes. A royal priesthood. You say, yes. A peculiar people. You say, yes. A holy nation. You say, is there a holy nation? We are a holy nation. Amen. Amen. We're a holy nation. Separated nation. Separated, consecrated, special nation. Sanctified by God himself. Set apart. Until you see it, you cannot leave it. We're a holy nation. You cannot know this and not have a fruitful prayer life. Your outlook to life suddenly becomes different. When you know that I'm a holy nation, a peculiar person, a chosen race, The disciples were not until the day of Pentecost. That's what I'm saying. So they had a very clouded idea of what Jesus came to do. At his ascension, they said, "Sir, when shall you again restore the kingdom to us?" So they said, "Don't get involved with politics. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the utmost parts of the earth. You shall be proof producers." Proof producers. Showing evidence that Jesus is alive. That Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Proof producers. That's what they say. You can see why barrenness, fruitlessness is not allowed in Christianity. I feel sorry for those who say Christians should not be result-oriented. God is result-oriented. Because this is how we're demonstrating in the market squares of life. Glory to God. He said, be proof producers. Be proof producers. There is a kingdom. And our job is to superimpose that kingdom upon the kingdoms of this world. Superimpose. And so when shall you restore the kingdom to us? He said, yeah, there's another kingdom, but not the one you're thinking about. They still took the idea of this is what the Messiah should do. The same thing with tongues. You know, I said all these things because I was talking about the things that people despise. Amen. The same things with speaking in tongues. It's vital. It's vital. I preached a message 2 years ago, expose on tongues. Go and search it and listen to it. I said many things there. But speak in tongues abundantly, okay? Speaking tongues abundantly. Speaking tongues abundantly. You will make so much progress spiritually and then physically. Because real progress happens first in the spirit. Speaking tongues abundantly, you will go fast. You will go very fast. Praying tongues abundantly. Sometimes you pray and pray, and all you have is a dry mouth and a heavy jaw. Continue. Pray in tongues. Don't despise it. Don't wait for your mind to be fruitful. It says, Paul says, when I speak in other tongues, my spirit prayeth. My mind is unfruitful. A translation says, I don't know what I'm saying. But how be it? He says, however, I will pray with my spirit. That's the first one. And I will pray with my understanding also. Meaning prayer with the understanding is the also. I'm going to terminals to pick a car. To buy a new car. I'll buy a shirt also. Do you understand? So what's the main thing? I will pray with my spirit. And I will pray with my understanding also. I will sing with my spirit. And I will sing with my understanding also. You will make progress, tremendous progress. And not just that, you'll be able to help people. Even without knowing. Do you know that? Do you know the best way to pray for people is in tongues? Yes, when you pray in tongues, enough words will well up in your spirits. You will pick prophetic words to declare. But you see, you cannot declare words like that with power if you have not prayed in other tongues. Pray in tongues always. Is that okay? Always. Have a time. It's no joke. It's serious. It gives you speed. Jude said in Amplified, that's Jude 20. He said, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith. He said, rise like an edifice. Make progress. Rise like an edifice. Higher and higher. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Make progress.
So when you are praying in the spirit, you are making progress. It may not look like it, but the Bible says you are making progress. Who would you rather believe? The Bible. Is it make progress? Look at it there. Beloved, build yourself founded on your most holy faith. Make progress. Rise like an edifice. Higher and higher. Praying in the Holy Spirit. So when you are Rabba Kekobasha, Rande Kebaya, Monta Kebo Suda, Lipa Korapatila Kosketa. You are making progress, though. That's what they say. You are making progress. Don't worry. You are making progress. Suddenly, you start experiencing glorious suddenlies. Glorious suddenlies. You know, when things like that happen, you hear people calling you overnight success. Overnight this one. They don't know that you were putting spiritual structures in place. I've told you, in life, whether you run an organization or is your destiny, whatever, spiritual structures first. You remember, spiritual structures first. You enter an industry, you enter a city, you enter a place, they first do these spiritual structures. Oh. Spiritual structures. When you lay them, you'll be an enigma. You'll be like what David said, I'm a wonder to my world. He said, I'm a wonder unto many. You'll be a wonder. You'll be a wonder. What is happening in our ministry now is not the prayers of now, Yahweh, at all. No, no. The praying we are praying now is for tomorrow. Honestly, God knows. And I know it's for tomorrow. For the days to come. So you don't play with it. You don't stop because what's really happening to me? What is really happening on the outside? Things are not looking like they are changing. Am I really making progress? Yes, you are. You know, I love an illustration. The Spirit of God gave a man of God. He was in an airplane, and now those of you that have flown in an airplane before, when the plane is about to take off, okay, there's velocity, right? There's the speed, amen. And you can feel the speed. Do you understand? He's moving so fast. But you see, when you take off in the air, that aircraft is moving faster than it moved on the ground before you took off. How many of you know that? But do you know you cannot really feel it? You're just looking and it's like you are doing slow motion. Just slow motion. The clouds are the same. Maybe after 10 minutes, you now see another cloud. You're just seeing the same thing. But suddenly, they tell you have arrived in Maiduguri. Fasten your seatbelt for descent. We took off from Lagos. Maiduguri. Those are the glorious suddenlies. So you have traveled thousands of miles. And at the point, it looked as though nothing's happening. But suddenly, they say, prepare for landing. Somebody is getting what I'm saying. Somebody is getting what I'm saying. You're making progress when you pray in tongues. You're making progress. It's as though nothing is happening. But you are covering miles in the spiritual. You are. Very soon, there'll be an announcement. Prepare for landing. And you see that, this is a quantum leap. I have covered so much and I didn't even know. Hallelujah. Amen. So pray in the spirit. It's an investment that must yield return. It's a must. It's a must. Let me tell you something. Don't never let anybody tell you it's not about prayer. Except you're not praying right. If you're not praying right, I feel sorry for you. Learn how to pray right. But when you understand God's word, you understand praying in the spirit. It's about prayer. Because in no time, that praying will lead you to the other things that you need. The people that you need. The opportunities that you need. The ideas. That prayer will facilitate both the former and the latter rain. The former rain of ideas, insight, and concepts. And the latter rain of God's favor. I told you,
If you can have ideas inside and concept, if the latter one doesn't fall, it's not going anywhere. You know how many ideas are packed? But when the latter one comes upon it, everybody will be looking for what you have. It's important. Don't play with praying. Don't play with praying. Because the kind of praying I'm talking about is not just now. It has impact on your spirit, yes. Well, that's cumulative effect, amen. Cumulative effect. Hallelujah. All right, Hebrews 4. I believe we stopped here last week. 2 weeks ago. Is that correct? Who knows where exactly we stopped? Let me see who hasn't followed. You don't know? All right. It says, so the last verse of 3 says, so we see that we could not enter in because of unbelief. All right, let us therefore fear or be reverent, lest a promise being left us. Are we there? All right, from verse 4. From verse 1 rather. Let us therefore enter, therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Let me see, come back to what I'm saying. I know I'm talking to someone. Sometimes we do things that prepare us for the days to come. And when the days come, some people cannot really connect it. That where they are now is connected to the things that we're doing. Do you understand what I'm saying? They can't really connect it. You see a ministry with a call, prayer. They were praying and praying and praying. They broke forth and they started saying, it's not about prayer anymore. They tell the prayer band people, 2 hours of prayer is okay. Every week, can't you see things are working? It's not about prayer. It's just about the buttons to press. Remember the story of that minister that proceeds to tell us? Until they press themselves out. Bishop is a crisis manager. Bishop. Some of you, if you are old enough, you remember what Bishop was saying is it creative thinking? It's strategic thinking, right? Strategic thinking. Those that follow that thing did not survive. Bishop came by and said, quote me anywhere. Prayer and fasting. Let me tell you something. Every destiny has the sixth day. The seventh day. That's the day of rest, right? Every destiny has a seventh day. And there are things that are coming in the seventh day. That's the day of rest. We all start out from day one in the pursuit of destiny, either in the marketplace or on the pulpit. So if a man in his fourth day doesn't understand that the man in his seventh day had this fourth day, and there were things he was doing before he entered into his rest, he may not get to his seventh day. You are vacating when you are supposed to be walking. I'm talking about you should rest too. I'm talking about official vacating, spending a lot of money, and you are in your third day. When you are supposed to devour the prey. You are gathering the spoil. It's not like that. So that brother back on campus praying, sweating, serving God, sowing his seed, those things are part of what has made him today. Do you understand? He cannot suddenly say it's not about those things he was doing. He can't connect it. Maybe this is just for someone. So you don't get distracted. Keep doing the things you're doing. Keep doing the things you're doing. The days of reward are here. Amen. Glory to God. Let me get back. All right, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. Now, because of our time, I can't start going over the background and all that. Go and get the materials. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Powerful. He's talking to these people who are believers, and by extension talking to us. And then he's talking about also the church in the wilderness. How they could not enter into that rest because of unbelief. Apistia. Non-persuadableness. And then he said, the same word is amazing. I told you sometimes in February, I believe, that the New Testament is the substance of the shadow, right? But the shadow is the old, and the substance that come, we are no longer in the shadow. But you will notice that the substance is not fighting with the shadow. Amen. It's not. This is why we say Christ is concealed in the old and revealed in the new. For example, saying that the same word that was preached to them was preached to us. Was Christ preached to them in a figure? Yes. Yes. That's what he's saying. But he said, the word preached to them did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that had it. It means the word of God is designed for profit, number one. The word of God should profit you. The word of God should profit you, should bring you profit. There's nothing wrong with that word. But you see, the way the word will profit you is mixing it with faith. You see why we talk about faith? It's mixing it with faith. He's saying when we don't mix the word with faith, there will not be results. So you will stretch in your faith. You will step out in faith at different seasons. Never get to a point where you don't need to use your faith again. No matter how prosperous you become, wealthy, influential, look for things to use your faith on. Amen. Is that okay? It's important too. So your faith doesn't undergo disuse atrophy. And get obliterated. Amen. Faith draws the prophet out of God's word. Faith draws the prophet out of God's word. Faith draws the prophet out of God's word. Meaning you will always profit when you step out based on God's word. It's not a matter of what it is. When you learn to step out on God's word, there will always be profit. The story of Peter in Luke chapter 5. Toiled all night, caught nothing. Jesus said, cast your nets for the catch of your life. He said, Lord, we toiled all night, caught nothing, but nevertheless at thy word. I will cast the nets, singular. God told him, Jesus told him, nets, plural. He said, I will cast the net. You choose just one. Because you wanted to try. And he had the catch of his life. Glory to God. Learn to mix God's word with faith. Learn to mix God's word with faith. By his stripes we are healed. Mix it with faith. Himself took our infirmity and bore our sicknesses. Mix it with faith. Mix it with faith. We said it shows in the way you think, talk, and act. Mix it with faith. The lion and the bear principle states that if you are not using your faith to handle the lion and the bear in the backside of the desert, you may not be able to face your Goliath. And when you can't face your Goliath, we said if you dodge your Goliath, there's no throne for you. So Act in faith. Use it for, you say it is malaria, headache. Use your faith. Mix the word with faith. Mix the word with faith. The major reason most Christians die from the so-called incurable diseases is they've not been using their faith for the little things. That's true. So it's when the doctor declared cancer that they want to start building faith. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Can I tell you the truth? Faith takes time to build. It does. It takes time. It takes time. It takes time. It takes time. So start mixing the word of God with faith at your current level. Mix it with faith. You'll see the profit. And every time you overcome by faith, your rank in the spirit, in the realm of the spirit, is increased. Just your faith. Handle malaria with it. Handle the pain with it. Handle getting 100,000 with it. Amen. Handle with it. Your own big proposal, drop a proposal to supply something of 200,000 first. Use the feet to push it. Amen. Do you know every time your faith produces, there's confidence that comes. You become more confident in God's word. And you know what? Don't despise the little results. No, don't. Don't. You know why? In this kingdom, he that is faithful in little shall not be faithful in much. Mm-mm, that's not what he said. Is also. He didn't say he that is faithful in little shall be faithful in much. No, go and read it again. He that is faithful in little is also faithful in much. So in the sight of God, the boy who can bring down the lion and the bear can take down a Goliath. And it happened. He doesn't need special training. Same weapon that he had proved. Meaning, oh my goodness, somebody's getting this. Meaning the same weapon you approved in laying hands on people to get rid of malaria. That is what you use. To be what? Who knows? To be independent of circumstances. That's it. He says, I've learned whatever state I am. To be independent of circumstances. Oh boy. Independent of circumstances. That means the things that are happening are there. I am here. They don't get inside. Listen, it is said that water outside the ship can never capsize the ship until it gets in. Do you understand? That means no pressure in life can never get the believer down if he doesn't get inside. Until he enters inside. If it's not inside, you are prevailing. You are coming out. But when you let it get inside, there's trouble. And do you know that the winds upon the sea is also a requirement for the ship moving. So the pressure is part of the game. It's a, every sailor will tell you that the wind helps the ship to move, but the rudder determines the direction. So you know that the challenges, the pressures, and all that is part of what will move you, but your mouth will set the direction. Can I get an amen? Yeah. So you don't go crying, why am I going through this? Why is it me? Why is it me? That's not your problem. You know that this is part of the wind for motion. But this wind does not determine my direction. My mouth will set my direction. My mouth speaking God's word will set my direction. Yeah, the ship needs the wind to move. But the rudder determines the direction. Hallelujah. So don't let it get in. Don't let it get in. So whatever state I am, I'm independent of circumstances. Listen, no believer can ever escape challenges. Everybody will have his own. Everybody, they come in different forms. Everybody. No matter how spiritual anointed you are, it will come. But there are seeds for your promotion. the assist for changing your ranking in the spirit. It will come. So you don't bother, Lord, why me? Should it be me? Lord, why me? Why? No. See them as seeds for your promotion. It may not have come from God. It may be just circumstances, natural occurrences, natural disadvantages, Satan coming at you. But you know what? Everything really works together for our good. As you overcome, your testimony will cause a ripple effect for the kingdom of God. Serious ripple effect. Manifesting the victory of Jesus. I know what? In the same way, it causes serious shame for Satan and his kingdom. Defeat and shame for them. But you stand your ground. That's what I'm saying. You don't let things on the outside get in. I've learned to be independent of circumstances. You set your sail in the direction of victory and dominion. You set your sail. You tell yourself, this is my direction. This is how I go in life. No shaking. You know, back in Mexico, I told them, I wrote final exams, I passed, I became a doctor, and I didn't, with all we did in school, I didn't write any exam twice. I didn't recite any exam. But I actually told people something. I think it's good, it's a good testimony. But you know what? If I had to have recited all the exams, I told them it made no difference to me. Because I had set my sail. It's good that the faith worked like that. But let us assume I failed the course, I recited, I repeated it. It wouldn't have meant anything. Trust me. There was a bigger picture. I set my seal. Those things were not important. They couldn't get into me. They wouldn't have gotten into me, rather. I'd set my seal. Independent of circumstances. You know, philosophers talk about, is it philosophers now, or which is it? They talk about transcendency. Transcendency, the transcendent life. They don't know what they are talking about. We are the ones with that transcendent life. They don't know what they are talking about. We are the ones with the transcendent life. Do you understand? I've learned whatever state I am to be independent of circumstances. You look at the life of Paul. If you are practicing African Christianity, you see Paul has family curse. Yes. He needs deliverance. Is it what they call? Is it generation? What they call it again? Generational curses. Pastor, I think in my family there's generational curses. Help us pray. When will you be delivered? When will you agree that you have been delivered? Brethren, here we don't have generational curses. We have generational blessings. You just choose to see. Which have you decided to see? The generational blessings? What generational curse now? What are you talking about? Generational curse? How? When you read your Bible, you see generational blessings. You will not decide which one you want to see. I see generational blessings. You are talking like you are the only one whose grandfather was an idol worshipper. If we sample here, 90% of us, we are just third generation Christians. Do you understand? So don't feel like you only... We all had great grandfather in the natural that worshipped idols and made covenants on our behalf. Do you understand? You are not the only one. So forget that. There's nothing special about your own. Nothing special. Can I get an amen? Is your skin not Negro? Amen. When did Christianity come to Africa? So forget, all of us had great grandfathers that had covenants. But you have to understand what Jesus did. You have to understand what happened to you when you got born again. I said it's about what you want to see. He said, Pastor, I've noticed the pattern. You decided to see it. Back to what I was saying. I said, when you look at Paul with the eye of African Christianity, yeah, generational curse. generational curse. Study the book of Acts now and his story. Generational curse. They just finished dealing with him here. Enter another one. Shipwreck. As he's coming out, gather sticks to get what? Viper. Paul wrote, when he was giving his resume, Kayabaya, about his sufferings for Christ. Did you read those things? In hunger often. In deep waters, among false brethren. Tribulations here and there. Stripes. No, you go and read it. But Paul didn't see all those things. He wrote from prison. He said, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. He was in prison. He was in chain. Counseling people outside to be rejoicing always. He said, rejoice always. Telling them, be careful for nothing. He wrote the book of Philippians from the prison. He said, be careful for nothing. But in all things, through prayer and supplication, mixed with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. And the God of peace, right? God will cause his peace to garrison your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. He was in prison. To tell you about his state of mind. Don't make a God out of what you are going through. Don't make a God out of it. Don't make a God out of it. There's a life on your inside. Don't make a God out of it. Glory to God. Writing from prison. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice again, I say rejoice. Be anxious for nothing. Who should be anxious here? Or was that same Paul that wrote? He says, I have learned that whatever state I am, to be independent of circumstance. You know, I'm talking about the life of faith, mixing the word of God with faith. To be independent of circumstances. So all those they say landlord says coming. You see, let me tell you, when you look at the way people respond to pressure, you can measure their level spiritually. You can easily moved. Mix the word of God with faith. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. Higher. You can't meditate on that scripture and be fearful. It says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You can't meditate on that and still be singing, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Where is he passing you to now? It says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We are not taking the word of God seriously. That's why we sing very religious songs. Passing you to where? Passing you to where? He wants you to be conscious that he lives in you and with you. Always. Forever. He told his disciples, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. The Greek word is orphanos. It means fatherless. He says, I will come to you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you without a father. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Oh, dear Lord Jesus. I feel the anointing already. I will come to you. He was introducing the ministry of the Spirit. Do you know a believer is not helpless? We are not helpless. We don't get stranded. We have a helper. A helper within. A helper without. He goes to places we cannot go to. He goes to speak to us in places we are not even aware of. We don't know we should talk. He goes there and he speaks on our behalf. We have a helper. One of the synonyms for that, Allos Paracletus, is counselor. Counselor. A paraclete is a counselor. A counsel for the defense. He speaks for us. He speaks on our behalf. We mix the word of God with faith. No, when you go, you open that scripture again. I believe it's in John, St. John's Gospel 4:4:4, I believe. It says, I will not leave you comfortless. 4:18 also. 4:18 or 16:18. 4:18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Glory to God. Remember that scripture we read in 2 Chronicles 20. What Jesus said, is it our eyes on you? Yeah. Our eyes on you. Our eyes on you. You may be crying. Do you know you can cry in faith? You can. All those when you are crying, we know we're the ones who preach you. You say, God does not hear your cry. You can cry in faith too. Hope you know. That dependence, when the scripture is before you, the cry is, you are just overwhelmed by the emotions of the possibilities that you are seeing that has yet to be manifested. That is yet to be manifested. Do you understand? You are not crying for the devil. No. It's you are overwhelmed by the emotions of the possibilities. It has not manifested physically yet. But your eye, you are looking at it. I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you helpless. I will come to you. And then you are knowing that God is with me. You're overwhelmed and you are crying. And I say, Lord, thank you because you are with me. Thank you because you are coming through. Thank you because this pressure is turning to testimonies. Thank you. Thank you because I'm coming out and I'm coming out strong. I'm coming out wiser. I'm coming out glorious in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then you can break into tears and cry. It's not because you are not in faith. No, you can't read that. We see that in 2 Corinthians. He said, our eyes on you. I don't know what happens to you when you read that line. He said, we have no strength against this multitude, but our eyes are upon you. We have no strength against this multitude, but our eyes are upon you. I tell you, the word of God is a person. There's a fellowship we have with the word. A fellowship. You set your eyes upon it at certain times and you feel a koinonia. You feel a unity, a fellowship. There's a breath of life coming with it. A breath of life. A sense of life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He said, he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. I will never be afraid of what a man can do to me. I will never be afraid of circumstances. I will never be afraid of what the doctor said. No. The Lord is my helper. You say it 1,000 times. Sometimes you say it and say it until tears come out of your eyes. It's not because you are not in faith. Are you listening? You are overwhelmed. You're overwhelmed. And sometimes at times like that you hear his voice. He said, daughter, I'm with you. You just hear that comforting voice. Son is going to turn out for your good. This thing that looks like reproach, it will cause a ripple effect for my kingdom. You just hear his voice and you are comforted. You are comforted. We cry in faith too. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Do you ever read the letters of Williams Booth to the missionary? He says, I've done everything and nothing has changed. He said, try tears. So we have done and done, the ground has not broken. He said, try tears. We have said, a dry-eyed pastor who have visitors in church, not spiritual children. Oh, it's true. It's true. You can have visitors in church, but you can birth people also. You can have visitors. There can be a lot of them. They have visitors. Or you can have spiritual children. That wherever they go, they carry your DNA. They carry your DNA. They carry your DNA. You know, if God called you to any form of ministry, pulpit, marketplace. God, let me keep this to myself. Should I keep it to myself? Especially pulpit ministry. Thank you, Jesus. You will know that the word of God is all you've got. It's all you've got. All you've got. Nobody signs to follow you. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you feel you sense the presence of God here already? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We mix the word with faith. We mix it with faith. And then we draw the profit out of it. We draw the profit out of it. We draw the profit out of it. Listen, to birth, there's no fluke in this thing. You want to produce result God's way, this is how. This is how. You mix the word with faith. At times you will pray and pray. You will worship and worship and worship. And you know, Lord, you know, and your heart is saying, Lord, you're all I've got. They have said they are old, you're all I've got. You're all I've got. You pray and pray and pray. You put your eyes on scriptures. You will shout it. You will talk it slowly. You will say it. You will pray again. You go about your normal business and then come back again. You know the prayer of faith. Some of you, nobody should hang me here. I know you all love me. The prayer of faith is not a prayer you pray once and stop. Most of us, the word of faith background, that's all we're taught. It's not true. You know why it's not true? You know, that same James 5, where the phrase, the prayer of faith, was taken from, we had a reference. And his name was Elijah. And we're also told that what Elijah did, the prayer he prayed, was a prayer of faith. So when you go back to 1 Kings and studied how Elijah produced results, you understand the prayer of faith. He said he prayed earnestly that it should not rain. And it rained not. He said he prayed again that the heavens should give rain, and the heavens gave rain. Now, when you go back to 1 Kings, you see how he prayed again. The Bible says Elijah said, "I hear the sound of abundance of rain." He went to Mount Carmel to pray out that sound. Bible scholars tell us he prayed for 7 hours. He will pray and send his servant to go and check the clouds. The Bible says he did that 7 times. Until the servant came there, "I see a sign. I see a sign. I see a sign." Like the size of a man's fist. He knew that was it. But the point is, even in James, he said he prayed earnestly. It wasn't one line prayer. He prayed earnestly. That's a prayer of faith. He prayed, put his head between his knees, prayed and prayed. 1 hour, he said, "Go and check." He prayed again, "Go and check." He prayed again, "Go and check." That's a prayer of faith. It means you are praying until you know. For us, the sign is spiritual. You know that 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 it is settled. It's no assumption. If it's still a level of assumption, go back to pray. You are still in faith. Go back to pray. Go back to pray. Go back to pray. Glory to God. Have you ever carried a burden to pray? There's such a thing as the burden of prayer. Burden. Burden. It could be personal, it could be for others. If you ever carry the burden to pray, you understand what I'm talking about. There are times you pray a burden, you pray for hours and the burden has not left. You pause, go to work, go do business, you come back and continue. Until your eyes sees the glory of God. Higher. Until your eyes see the glory of God. Until you see that glory. Until you see that glory. Mixing the word with faith. Amen. No, sometimes when I teach, I get to a particular point and the whole teaching is scattered. I can't organize myself anymore. I'm at that point right now. I'm trying. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We're mixing the word of faith, right? So we're mixing the word with faith, right? And we're producing results. Put the word of God to work. Put the word of God to work. It works. It works. It works. That word is the universal panacea. Universal. It works in every area. One cure for all things. Panacea. One cure for all things. So whatever a believer is dealing with or wants to do, wants to get, the word. Universal panacea. He says the works were finished from the foundations of the earth. From the foundations of the world. And when you read further, you can put up verse 11 and 12. He started talking about the word. The word that we are to mix with faith. He says the word of God is quick. 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 We call it the momentum of truth. Quick. There's speed. There's speed. The word of God is quick and powerful. Sharper, you remember? Than any two. Is that so? Piercing to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the bones and the marrows. He said, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of men's heart. And there's nothing hid from him. Can you see? He gives personality to the word now. From him with whom we have to deal. So, you know, I was talking about fellowship with the word. Now, some of you feel fire in your heart. Some of you felt a weight lifted. You felt an anointing while I was teaching. You were just hearing words spoken. Human word cannot give such experience and feeling. Because it's living, it's producing that sense of life in your heart, in your body. Is somebody following me? In your soul. Because it's living. The discerner of the thoughts and intent, verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. Oh God. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to deal. He's still talking about the word of God. All right. Next verse. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. Jesus, Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let us hold fast our profession. But chapter 3 talks about Jesus being the apostle and the high priest of our confession, right? The Greek word there is supposed to be translated confession, is homologio. Let us hold fast, seeing that we have a high priest that is passed into the heavens. Let us hold fast to this profession of faith. To this confession of faith. And the confession there, he's saying the same thing in content. Our high priest is saying something. His will concerning us. He's talking. We are to keep saying what he's saying. Glory to God. He said, how do I know what the high priest is saying? Come on now, you have the Bible. That's why in chapter 6 together, he said, chapter 13, verse 6. He said, he has said, so that we may boldly say. Again and again, the book of Hebrews, you see that principle. God has said, so that we may boldly say. Our high priest is talking. We have, listen, there's a heavenly shrine. And God was doing workers, lather that Mr. Babali was talking about, the sprinkling, still going on. Yes, we have it. Jesus, listen, Jesus is not inactive in heaven. He's not. He's operative. He's a high priest. The Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for us.
he ever lived. What is intercession? The word intercession is the subtotal of everything he's doing. It doesn't mean he's saying, oh Lord, have mercy on the people. No. You know, when religion has created certain pictures in our head, when you talk about intercession, you limit it to human terms. The sum total of everything he's doing, and we call it the present ministry of Jesus, is that intercession. He's speaking over us. Words of blessings. Hey, just like in the Old Testament, once every year, the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies. The Bible said, not without blood. He goes in with blood for the atonement of the people. And when he comes up, he speaks blessings. Blessings. Blessings upon the people to prosper in their hands, in their works for 1 year. This one did not go into the heavenly holy of holies with the blood of bulls and goats. He went with his blood, which the Bible calls it the seal of our eternal redemption. And he's speaking blessings because of that blood. He's speaking blessings every day, every moment. He's speaking blessings. He's in that heavenly shrine with his blood and with our name on his lips, speaking blessings upon us. How can we fail? How could we be defeated? How could we? That's what he's saying. A high priest passed into the heavens. That means every other high priest that others that are opposing you are using, they are on earth. Don't you understand? Your own high priest has passed into the heavens. Oh, these guys are dealing with high priests on earth now, who cannot continue by reason of death. But we have a high priest brought forth by the order of an endless life, right? Passed into the heavens. Passed into the heavens. So your high priest is in a place. Who, and I tell you, one of the strength of any covenant is the high priest. We have a high priest passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. Therefore, hold fast to the confession of your faith, to the profession of your faith. Hold fast to your profession. Hold tight to the things you believe. Say it. Have that disposition. Hold fast. Hold fast. Hold fast. Bala Keposo. You know, I was watching a testimony on KCM. What was today? I was watching some videos, some KCM videos, and of a woman who got healed of cancer. And she was sharing testimony with her husband. She, a pastor's wife. Actually, one thing led to another, and then she started hemorrhaging and all that. They said she had a cancer. They did surgery, took some lymph nodes and all that, and then they did tests. It's okay. Even the lymph nodes were cancerous, and then she needs to go for chemotherapy and radiation. Okay, and then she entered the car to go, and she just told herself, no. Said no. I've chosen life. And then she'll sit down every day with God's word. Total immersion. She'll write and told her husband to write those healing scriptures for her again. Messages, scriptures, meditate. Oh my goodness. She kept declaring until they could not find a trace of cancer in her body. She just said, no, I won't do it. Let's get back to this thing. I won't do it. So she says, they've said, no. Like, no, you're not going for the chemotherapy and all that. Glory to God. That's what it means to hold fast to the profession of your faith. You hold fast. The circumstance notwithstanding. I don't try to explain how it came. Hold fast to the profession of your faith. It will always deliver. Amen. It will always what? Deliver. A high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Next verse. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all point tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Next verse. Let us therefore, oh my goodness, come begging, timid, boldly onto the throne of grace. You know, I want you to notice the tenses there. It didn't say so that you can be given. Everything there is about rising and gathering.
though you look at it. It's about collecting. It's about lambano. That Greek word lambano. There are two Greek words for receive. One is ginomai, I believe. Ginomai means to wait to be given. It's a take. Lambano means to seize and make it yours. To seize and make it yours. Nothing is said about waiting to be given here. It's a come boldly unto the throne of grace. You are there. What do you do? That you may obtain mercy. Obtain. It means to take. And find grace to help in time of need. So you find it. What grace do you need? You find it. Do you need grace to make money? You find it. Come boldly. You know why he said so? There's an high priest that has passed into the heavens. Oh, glory to God forever. Christianity is no fluke, brothers and sisters. It's real. There's an high priest that has passed into the heavens. Come boldly. Come boldly unto the throne of grace. Obtain mercy. Obtain. Just as long as I have obtained this thing. Obtain. Collect it. Find grace to help in time of need. Next chapter. Oh boy, have you been blessed tonight? Yes, glory to God. He said, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Next verse. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. Next verse. I want us to reach somewhere, then we'll stop. By reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. You understand what he's saying? Natural priest. Alright. They also have infirmity. I know. He said, for no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Next verse. Talking about the Aaronic priesthood now. So also, I want you to, it's getting serious now. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest. But he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Next verse. As he said also in another place, thou art the priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. We're getting into something now. Priesthood. We're getting into something now. Priesthood. You know, he's talking about the Jesus, the priesthood of Jesus. He started by talking about Aaronic priesthood. Then how the Jesus who was not born from the tribe of Levi, nothing was said about Judah as pertaining priesthood. How did he just come? Okay, to become a high priest. And then he was presenting his argument, his strong points to these Jewish Christians. I told you, I believe he was actually writing to Jewish Christians, but the Lord to lend there, amen. Because the Lord is it about our covenant and the two covenants. You see, you're also in another place, thou art a priest unto me after, forever, after the order of Melchizedek. So he introduces a man. He introduces an office. Let me put it that way. An office. You know, the term Melchizedek is more of an office than a name. Is that very important? Because when we're getting talking about this priesthood from next week, you will see it. It's more of an office than a name. There are Bible scholars that believe that this was Shem. How many of you have ever heard that? That this was Shem that God consecrated to an office. And put a king of Salem. Okay? You understand? You understand? And in fact, it's believed in the book of Jasher, where we have, where most of the times when we read 1 Kings, 2 Kings, Chronicles, we are referred to the book of Jasher. How many of you know that? It's not book written in the book of Jasher, but it's not part of this Bible. Amen. Eh? Okay. It talks about how that all of Abraham's children, in fact, some said that at the point Jacob was with him, okay, they'll take them there to learn at his feet and all that and all that. That's what about. We're going to get into that. Is an order or priesthood that was introduced. You know, the Abrahamic covenant was there before the Mosaic covenant. And the Abrahamic covenant is still present today. We are product of the Abrahamic covenant. People confuse, when we say the Old Testament, people confuse it with the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant started from Exodus 19:20. Do you understand? Genesis is not in the Old Covenant. It's just in the Old Testament portion of the Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke are not in the New Covenant. They are in the Old Covenant. They are just in the New Testament portion of the Bible. Do you understand? The Old Covenant started on Mount Sinai, Exodus 19:20. The New Covenant started after Jesus was raised from the dead. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So, this man Melchizedek was introduced in Genesis 14. And for those that have problem with tithing, when you understand this, you don't have any problem with it. You don't have any problem with tithing. You will know that, listen, I told you 2 Sundays ago that every covenant has a token. From Garden, from the Garden of Eden to Noah to Abraham. Every covenant has a token. Hallelujah. We'll get into all that next week. Rise to your feet. Thank you, Jesus. Have you been blessed tonight? Father, we thank you. We give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor. Lift your 2 hands toward heaven. Thank you, Jesus. We give you glory, we give you honor. Can we all be on our feet very quickly? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you, we honor you. Our faith is working, our faith is producing. Can you just lift your right hand and take these confessions after me? Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me so much. For bringing your...
You have just listened to Pastor Erasmus Amewell, the Senior Pastor of the Embassy of Heaven. For more messages and information, log on to our website, www.theembassyofheaven.org. Stay blessed.